You're listening to KVMR FM, Nevada City. I'm Brian Lee, and on the phone with me right now is Richard Mayer of the Victors. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm just doing fine, and it's good to be with you here today.
Tell us all just exactly how you and I got together.
Oh, wow. You know, one door opens another, my mother used to say. One door opens another. I got my first computer for Christmas, and I just moved into my new place here. And I hooked up my computer. I don't know too much about computers, but I went to Ancestry, and I, believe it or not, found a half-sister I knew existed, but I didn't know where she was. Her and I traded emails, and then one day I wrote to her, and I said, if I said, there's a fungus among us, what would you say? And she wrote back and said, there's a static in the attic. And I thought, oh, my God, this girl was 10 years old when that was recorded, and she still remembers it. So anyway, she got it off of your website, and that's how you and I got connected here.
Well, Richard, where did you grow up?
In Chicago.
So you were in the city proper then?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, if you took a square or something and made a line right straight through Chicago, that's where I lived, right at the intersecting point. Bucktown, they called it.
How did you get interested in music?
I've always been interested in music. It's been in my family. My uncle was a comedian and a singer and all that. My mother used to sing as a child. She would take me to little taverns and stuff, and I would sing and dance up on the bar and get free sodas and stuff like that. When I went to high school, I wanted to go into the orchestra. I wanted to play the kettle drums because I liked Antel Doradi of the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra, and he used a lot of kettle drums, classical music. So when I went there, I was talking to the head guy there, and I heard the Lane Tech High School chorus singing across the hall. I said, no, I got to go over there. So I went over there, and I sang in the chorus there for 4 years. That was wonderful. Then I sang in the church choir, and then we put on Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, barbershop quartets, every kind of singing imaginable. It was fun.
So you really grounded yourself in some of the basic and classic types of music and works. How did you switch over into rock and roll?
That's funny. I had a friend, Bob Schimmel, and he had a friend, Chuck Baker, and we later became the Victors. I was with Bob Schimmel, and we walked up around Chuck Baker's high school, and he was sitting there playing a guitar. He didn't know me. I'd never met him. And he started singing an Everly Brothers song, When Will I Be Loved, or something like that, one of those. And I started singing along with him, harmony. And when it came to the solo, he stopped, and he looked at me, and I didn't sing. And we both started laughing. And I said, I don't sing solo. I guess I don't have a solo voice. You know, I do harmony. And anyway, that cemented our relationship right there. So we were cloned Everly Brothers. I'm telling you, the girls would just gather around. It was unbelievable.
So now you guys then started off as a duo. How did the Victors actually form then?
I just found out recently by looking at some old records that we had recorded. Originally, we were called the Travelers, me and Bob. Then one day we're thinking, well, what can we call ourselves? And I was smoking a package of Viceroy cigarettes. I was smoking an Ace cigarette. And Bob said, let me see that pack. And he looked at it, and at the bottom of the pack, it said, Veni, Vidi, Vici. I said, well, what's that mean? He said, that means I came, I saw, I conquered. And I thought, wow, how victorious. And he said, all right, there we go, the Victors. And that was it.
So the Victors were born. Can you tell us the names of the members of the Victors?
Sure. Myself, Richard Mayer, I was born October of 1941. Chuck Baker was the guy with the talent, really. And he knew where he was going. He had done all kinds of talent shows, and he for family parties and stuff like that. He was always performing, and he's the one who really got us going places. Yeah. He knew what he was doing. Bob Schimmel, he just had a lot of, intestinal fortitude. Nothing got in his way. He was the morale booster, you know.
So it was the three of you, and then how did you happen to meet your lead singer, Hugh Barrett?
Well, now we got to go into a whole different area here. How did the song get born? And that's how we met Hugh Barrett. 50 years ago, there was a young guy named Dick Biondi who came on Chicago scene on WLS radio, and he was an instant, you got to listen to this guy, you got to hear this guy. He was just ahead of his years. Anyway, Dick Biondi, he sang a song like On Top of Old Smokey, but he twisted the words around. He said, on top of a pizza covered with cheese, I lost my first meatball and somebody sneezed. And boom. This went around through every high school, and everybody was talking about this and singing it. And then he came up with, there's a fungus among us. And that spread around like crazy. Everybody's saying there's a fungus among us. Unbelievable. One day, a song came up to him called There Was a Fungus Among Us. I don't know if they didn't like the recording of it or whatever, but some heads got together and they decided that they would record their own version of it. It was recorded in Chicago at Nero Recording Studios. Vic Ferracci was the AR man. Vic Ferracci was a band leader at that time. Hugh Barrett, that was the question, right?
Right, right.
Well, Hugh Barrett, I believe, at that time was just a shot in the beer barroom entertainer, and he had a buddy named Frankie, was his guitar player. Frankie played a lot of double string lead. Okay, when it came to the recording itself, none of us knew each other. This was just a hodgepodge of people that got together. The poor drummer, my goodness, I felt so bad for him. He could not play the beat, bum bum ba dum ba dum, bum bum ba dum ba dum. That was so simple. And I was a drummer myself to some extent, and I thought, well, I could do that. But the way Vic Ferracci was yelling at this guy, I said, oh, no, I'm not even going to get involved here. But anyway, the guy got it, and finally we started recording. There's two girls singing in the vocal background, and I don't know their last names. They were Sandy and Debbie, and they were with Chuck Baker, friends of his, and they've also recorded with us on other songs. Now, when the song was recorded, it took 25 takes. And when the song was over, they used half or a part of the first take and spliced it or mixed it with half or part of the 26th take and come out with a finished product. The poor saxophone player, I don't know how many times he had to play this thing. We were there 6-7 hours at least.
Wow.
I heard a comment that's a dirty sax. Well, yeah, it was. You know, you play the same thing, whatever, 25 times. And as far as the words, I believe Hugh Barrett stepped on his own tongue and he just mumbled his way through one verse of the song. I don't think it's decipherable what he was singing.
Well, you know, when I listen to that song, it involves a lot of people like you've just mentioned, but certainly as well, the two backup singers, Sandy and Debbie, both singing Which One Is the Fungus, adds a lot of character to that song.
Exactly. And I didn't know them from Adam. I met them only once afterwards at a kind of a party at Chuck Baker's house.
Do you know whatever happened with them or completely lost track of them?
Well, here's a story with Chuck Baker. Here we are together in Chicago, and then I get drafted. I go in the Army, and I'm in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I was in military police. And they had a rec center, a little recreation rooms, actually a bunch of rooms. And I was in one of the rooms playing a guitar. I picked up playing a guitar by then. And I was playing some Freddie King song. And I looked up, and there is Chuck Baker in crutches, and he walks into the room that I'm playing, and he says, I knew that was you, and I couldn't believe this, you know. And I asked him, what happened? He said, well, he was in Vietnam, and some little kid came up and threw a hand grenade into the truck that he was in, and he got his legs tore up. I guess a couple of his friends died. So that was my second meeting with Chuck Baker, covering many, many miles. And now I move out here to California, and he moved out to California. And I talked to him this maybe 15 years ago at a party he had. As a matter of fact, I said, well, how will I know where your house is? And he says, look for the parachute. Because he was a paratrooper, you know, 101st Airborne. And as I drove up, I saw this big, huge parachute between two structures. And I said, oh, that's the place. So other than that, I haven't seen him. Bob Schimmel, I don't know what happened to him.
No information on the two girls either, huh?
No, not at all.
So you got this record, and I may point out, just for everybody's information at this point, that the song had actually been recorded about 3 years earlier by Terry Nolan. He had a version of it, and it really didn't do much more than a little bit of regional action for him, so it was certainly not a hit for him at all.
I've never heard it, never heard the record.
Once you recorded your version, though, of Fungus Among Us, what happened from there with the group and your appearances and such?
Well, there really was no real action. This was all done with the records. The record spoke for itself, and the Dick Biondi popularity of his show certainly punched it up to number 14 on the top 40 on one survey, and another survey was number 32 or something like that. But no, we didn't tour or anything like that. Now, the Victors, we toured, and we did some things and dances and stuff like that. But in all honesty, we weren't that talented.
So you didn't do any local hops or any local shows for Dick Biondi or anything like that?
No.
Well, it was definitely a regional hit for sure, perhaps the Midwest and a little bit beyond. I did read something that I thought was kind of interesting where Dick Biondi really, really got into the record, and like you were saying earlier, and he issued listeners fungus licenses and made them an honorary fungus.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess you could write into the station or something and get your fungus license, just all based on that one record and that moment in time.
That's amazing. You know, I'm in California, and I move around a little bit, and I bump into people, and I just say that. Do you ever hear There's a Fungus Among? Oh, yeah, that was a song. And it's unbelievable how this is spread around.
Let's talk a little bit about The Victors, because that was not the last song. That was the first song of a few. You had a follow-up called Devil's Love, Send For Me.
That was fun. Send For Me was fun. And the girls were in that. Debbie and Sandy were on that also. That was one fun session to do with Hugh Barrett. Hugh Barrett would light up a room when he walked in. He had the loudest voice I have ever heard anybody use in regular talking. And if he's singing, he didn't even need a microphone. Unbelievable. Send For Me was a Nat King Cole song, I believe. And this was done up-tempo. And just a lot of fun. And the flip side was even more fun. Devil's Love. Yeah, that's where you hear Frankie playing his double lead guitar. It's unreal.
Now, that was like 1961 for the Lucky Four label. Do you remember anything about Lucky Four?
Lucky Four. We dealt with, oh my goodness, look, how many different albums? I mean, with MBS Recording and one of my favorite, Crash Records. Did you know that there was a Return of the Fungus?
I did not know that. Tell me about that.
It's horrible. And a songwriter's agreement signed on the 10th of August, 1961, witnessed and everything, and we recorded it. The only trouble is, I believe we had to each put in $33. We had to give someone $100, and they just pressed out some demos, and we got some demos, but it was never really released.
So you still have your demo?
Yes, I do.
Wow. I'm also showing a record called Choo Choo Twist, also for Lucky Four. Does that ring a bell for you?
Not at all. Mm. I'll give you a list here of the songs that we recorded.
Okay.
Chuck Baker and the Victors. Oh, yeah, and Sandy and Debbie were called and their friends. So it was the Victors and their friends featuring Chuck Baker. That's how we were put on the record label. Anyway, his song was Lovin' at the Drive-In. That was one of them. The Return of the Fungus, which was never released. Laurel Sue, that was when we were the Travelers, and I was playing drums on that one.
Now, was that released?
No. It's on a label, MBS Recording Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was another Dick Biondi saying, well, he was talking about submarine races. Now, Chicago being off of Lake Michigan, in those days, you could really go up real close to the water with your car, Montrose Harbor, I believe it was. And what he would do is say, take your girlfriend up to the lake and park there and tell her you're going to watch the submarine races. Well, you know, of course, you can't see a submarine underwater, but it was a good way to get your girl in the car, you know, in the lover's lane.
Right.
And that was an instrumental, and so we did that. I'm sorry, we did that. We stole his saying and made an instrumental called Submarine Races, and that didn't go anywhere. Other people picked up on it and probably were a little more successful.
Does a song called Another Lonely Soldier Boy sound familiar to you?
Yeah, it does, but I don't believe I was involved in that, but
okay.
Who did that?
Well, I'm showing it, listening to just as Hugh Barrett, but, you know, as his records go, there was usually background people in there, and I thought maybe you would have had some involvement with it or not.
Yeah, no. I looked him up here and there and everywhere. I can't get a hold of him either.
Mm. So you made a couple of records and had some real good airplay on Fungus Among Us and maybe some local spins on some of the other stuff. What did you guys do from there? Once things kind of fell off a little bit, what'd you do?
Well, like I said, I got drafted, and then I got married when I got out of the Army.
What might be the most memorable story that you can think about concerning the music that you could tell me?
One time I had a date with the girl that I finally did marry. I needed a pack of cigarettes, so I stopped my car. I walked over to this drugstore, and I was going to go in and buy a pack of cigarettes. And there was a sign on the door that said, closed for a funeral, or some reason they were closed. So I said, okay. I walked over to this bar, a place called the 8 O'Clock Club in Chicago in Logan Square. I walked in there, and I got a pack of cigarettes. I was all dressed up real nice for my date. And some girl ran up to me and planted a kiss on my mouth, you know. She says, come on back here. And I said, I'm not 21. I won't be 21 for two more weeks. And she said, will you come back here when you're 21? I said, sure. I wasn't married. I wasn't engaged. So why not? So I went back there in 2 weeks, and I heard a guy playing the guitar, and I've never heard anybody play the guitar this way. His name was Larry Dale. I wish I could find him right now. I have something that belongs to him. I would love to find this guy. This Larry Dale is not Enos Lowry, who is a blues black man player, but he's dead already. Larry Dale played some blues, and I just never heard anybody play blues like that. I just watched him for a year, and then when I bought a guitar from him, and I just could play it. I was playing Freddie King songs right off the bat. And that was the most moving, as far as, you know how blues affects you, your soul, you know. That was it. I was hooked on the blues from then.
Richard, thank you so much for taking some time to share some stories about the victors that you were in that backed up Hugh Barrett, had that great song called Fungus Among Us. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Okay, this has been fun. Thank you so much.